it's interesting the songs that Robert picked for tonight were about praise, because that's what I want to talk to you about tonight, is praise and worship. I'm kind of coming on the heels of what Josh spoke to us a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, wasn't it? A couple Wednesdays ago. So when he started speaking, I thought, oh, it just quickened my spirit. Like, that's what I need to talk about today, just to dwell a little bit further about praise and worship and what it can do for us. So it may not take me long. I tend to talk fast, and I think I have more than what I have, time-wise. But Revelation 19:10 says, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That was not a request. That was a command for us to worship God. I mean, that's what we're going to be doing when we get to heaven. We're going to be worshiping God. So we better get in practice today here on this earth, right? Because when we worship God, it brings forth that spirit of prophecy in our midst. I hate it when people say prophecy is passed away, because it's not. It is not passed away. It is ever present. And so worship is one thing that opens our hearts to receive from God, but it also opens our hearts to receive from the Holy Spirit to be used by God through prophecy or the gifts of the Spirit. We're made to worship. The first time I found mentioned about anything towards worship was after Seth was born. And the word says, man began to call on the name of the Lord after Seth was born. I thought that was kind of interesting, because we have Abel and Cain before that. And, you know, Adam and Eve were walking in the garden with God. You know, they had complete fellowship with him until they got boosted out. But the Bible says that man, now maybe it's considering all men, began to call on the name of the Lord at that time. Noah offered up burnt offerings on the altar once he was on dry land. That's Genesis 8:20. We have a wonderful avenue to express our love for God through worship and through praise. It's a wonderful avenue he's given us. There's no manual on how to worship. You know, you may have a monotone. One time we had, I might have told the story, we did a radio program called the Jesus Hour in Beaumont, Texas, and then in Nacogdoches and I think Woodville, and back in the 70s. And so we played contemporary Christian music, which was new at that time. People just didn't hear much of that. And had testimonies and had preaching, and it was an hour long, so Jesus, the Jesus Hour. And so this one young man wanted to sing so badly, and everything was live, so if you coughed, if you did anything, you know, it was there. So he wanted to sing. Okay, we'll let you sing. So he goes in and sings Amazing Grace, and he sings on one tone. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. I mean, okay, that's you? And he was just singing from his heart, bless his heart. It sounded, you know, I'm sure it sounded great to God, but it was really bad for radio waves, you know. Not a good radio voice. But God doesn't care. It's a matter of the heart. You know, it's a matter of the heart that how we worship and whether it sounds good to us or you or not. You know, some people got so caught up in, well, you got to play these certain chords to bring in the presence of God. Or you got to play this kind of instrument to bring in the presence of God. I'm thinking, now how does that work worldwide? What if I'm in an African village and all they have is those drums, and they're beating those drums praising the Lord? Is that not worship to God? Yes, it is. You know? So there's so many avenues of how to worship. It's not how loud, how soft, how good or bad you sing in other people's ears or your own ears. It's a matter of the heart, and God wants us to worship him. Josh brought this scripture out. It's one of my favorites. John 4:23. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. What matters is the heart. Do you have a heart for worship? I think we do here. I think we do. It doesn't matter if we lift our hands. I mean, it's freedom when you lift your hands. Believe me, it took me a long time to get my hand up there. And once I did, I felt, oh, I can do this. We can dance before the Lord like David did. Now, I have a little difficulty with that, so I'll just do this. Okay? One day, man, I might take off. Who knows? Do you remember that time Brother Bob and Carol just took off around the church dancing? Do you remember that? I thought that was the sweetest thing. I thought, man, I wish I could do that. Well, there's also false worship. So remember in Exodus when the Israelites got so impatient waiting on Moses to come down from the mountain. And Joshua was halfway up the mountain waiting on Moses. And he kept hearing this sound. Joshua heard this sound. He said, it sounds like war. What's going on? It sounds like war down there. Well, we know that wasn't war. They had convinced Aaron to build a golden calf because they wanted to worship something. You know, it's in human beings to want to worship something. I don't care if you're an atheist, an agnostic, a different religion. You worship something, whether it's yourself, whether it's a government, whether it's some idol. It's in human nature to worship something. And so we know the story. They worshiped the golden calf, and Moses said, no, that is not war, a sound of war. That is a sound of merriment and dancing and singing. And I wonder sometimes what our worship sounds like to others. Does it sound like war? Or does it sound like praise unto God? Yeah, I've been in services to where the worship team, one of the worship team thought, oh, we need to go with this war sound, blah, 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 you know, just we got to fight the devil. Well, okay, but, you know, really the Holy Spirit wasn't really leading that way. The Holy Spirit was leading more in worship, not in, you know, we're going to go fight the devil. So, you know, as even on a worship team, we need to listen to see what God's saying here. What does the Holy Spirit want done in our atmosphere during each of our services? In Isaiah 29:13, it says, the Lord says, this is NIV, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. That sounds okay, huh? Pretty good. But their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. Now, we need to teach our kids to worship, no doubt. But somewhere in there, it's got to click that this is from your heart. This, yeah, we teach our kids to raise their hands and wave flags and, you know, sing unto the Lord. But sometime in there, it's got to click for them. It reminds me of when I teach kids piano lessons, and they're struggling, and I'm trying to teach them to get them to learn, and all of a sudden, one lesson, it clicked. They got it. They understood it. And I think that's the way it is in worship. The more we worship God, the more it clicks with us. I want to do this. I got to have more of it. I got to worship. If I'm down and out, I got to get on that piano and got to worship. I just have to do it, and it lifts my spirit. It lifts my spirit. Instead of coming in here, oh, we got another service. We should come in here rejoicing that we get to worship God in a corporate setting. So what does worship do? It ushers in the presence of God. It really does. It ushers in the presence of God. It will allow worship to do that. Not just sing the song, but really allow worship to usher in His presence, His anointing. It causes conversion. So I want to look at 1 Samuel 10. And this story is about Saul. And in chapter 9, his father had lost some of his livestock. And so he asked Saul to go find it. So he was going, trying to find it. He and some of his compadres were going, and they were trying to find his livestock. And they couldn't find it. Well, in the meantime, Samuel, the Lord told Samuel that, what Saul was doing, and he said he's going to be king. So when he comes around, you need to anoint him as king. So Saul came to this point, chapter 10, verse 3. Thou shalt then shalt thou go forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God, to Bethel, one carrying three kids, the other carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute you and give you two loaves of the bread, which you shall receive from their hands. First of all, I thought that was interesting. They've been on this journey looking for these livestock, and I'm sure they were hot and tired and thirsty. And God made provision for them. God made provision for them from strangers. Isn't it just like God with us, that when we're on a journey searching for something for our Father, maybe searching for something spiritually, and we get a little dry, we get a little hungry, and then lo and behold, God gives us provision, either through the Word of God, through a word from a friend, an encouraging word, or just God speaking to you. He gives us provision. And then he tells him that he's going to come up to a hill where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass when thou art come to the city that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. So these prophets were coming down off the mountain praising God with their instruments, with their voices. They were bringing forth a prophetic happening. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. Wow. Wow. So Saul, here he is. He's going looking for those livestock. God gives him some provision. And all of a sudden he sees these prophets coming down this mountain singing praises to God and prophesying. And boom, he starts prophesying. He changes into another man. That's what worship will do for us if we allow it. Worship will change our hearts. It will change us to where we can walk with God another day. We can be encouraged. We can forget about our trials and what we're doing and even what purpose we were going on. We can be distracted by worshiping God and have the Spirit of God come upon us. And then it says God gave him another heart. He gave him another heart. And it all started with worship. All started with worship. I've seen that happen. God gives people different hearts. Once they start worshiping, things change. Things change in their hearts and their lives. It ushers in prophecy. 2 Kings 3:15. Elijah asked for the minstrels to come to play. And it came to pass when the minstrels played that the hand of the Lord came upon him, and then he prophesied. And I know you've seen in our services, sometimes Chuck will get up and he'll just say for me to play, you know, just do some chord progression, some play. And, you know, what I'm doing there is listening to the Holy Spirit and say, okay, God, what do you want me to play? And he just kind of orchestrates what I'm playing. And that provides an atmosphere for the Spirit of God to move, and prophecy starts coming forth. We've been in meetings to where it's been hours, where we may play the same chord progression, but God is moving mightily because worship is filling the place and allowing the Holy Spirit to move, miracles to take place. So Elijah asked for the minstrels to come, and then he began to prophesy. It brings forth deliverance. 1 Samuel 16:23. I got the scripture wrong earlier. I found it. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took the harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. People can be delivered through worship. That's awesome. That is awesome. One time when I was on a worship team, I just played my flute. I didn't do anything else but play my flute. And God told me that in that service, somebody was going to be healed as I played my flute. I thought, really, God? That's going to happen? And he said, just like David when he played his harp and the evil spirit left, this person is going to be healed. So I told the pastor that, and so we were on the lookout. You know, when's this going to happen, God? You know, you said you're going to do it. When's it going to happen? And it did. Sure enough, later in the service, there was that lull time, and people were singing in the spirit, and I was playing my flute in the spirit, and somebody got healed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He can do anything through worship. We need to expect God to be in the midst of our worship. We need to expect God. Sunday morning, we need to expect God to be here, to do something in our midst, to touch our hearts, to touch an unsaved person's heart that may come, to cause them to want to come and know who this Jesus is that we worship. Psalms 149. Let's look at that. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and the two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all the saints. Praise ye the Lord. This honor have all the saints. So what this scripture means to me is, as we praise the Lord, our enemy can be defeated. Our enemy can be bound up. Those kings, those the heathen, the evil that surrounds the world. You know, I don't think that's talking literal. I think it's talking spiritual. Those things that maybe are hindering you, when you start praising the Lord, they have to flee. They have to flee. They are bound up. They have to flee. And so if you have trouble praising God and worshiping God in a service, you need to force yourself to praise God and worship God so those things can get off of you. Look beyond those things that are restricting you and say, I don't care. I am going to worship God. And as you do that, those things are going to fall off of you. I know they will. The word says so. It brings forth the anointing of God. 2 Chronicles 5:13-14. When the singers and musicians made one sound, praising and thanking the Lord, the house was filled with his glory, so much the priests could not stand. Have you ever been in a service to where you just could not stand because the presence of God was so strong? It is awesome. It is almost awful awesome, because the presence of God is so strong in the midst that you don't want to do anything. You know, I think there's a scripture that says, I don't know if it was John in Revelation or if it was Isaiah, but when they came in the midst of the presence of God, all they could do was this. Just cover their mouth. Because he's so awesome, so awesome. It just is so awestruck. And so our worship, if we can get that one sound, that unity of worshiping God together, the one sound, to bring forth the presence of God. It'll open our hearts. You know, worship is God-centered, not self-centered. There's a book that I read years ago, and I was hoping we still had it, and it's called Let Us Praise by Judson Cornwell. Has anyone read it? It's really a good book. You should look it up and get it. But he says it's better than I could. Praise was lifting us out of self and need-centeredness to a Christ-centeredness. You know, you may come in here Sunday morning just tired and got the kids together and they were screaming and, oh my gosh, I forgot to put the pot roast on, and oh, I had an argument with my husband in the car, and you come in and you're trying to be all nice and, you know, religious. And it's kind of hard sometimes. You come in with baggage. And but, you know, if we start worshiping, that baggage kind of just falls off of us. There were other unexpected benefits of praise. It brought a new honesty into our midst. It helped us enlarge our concepts of God. It releases our emotions of love and joy. It began to have a noticeable effect in our church's marriages, interpersonal relationships. It moved from negative attitudes to positive attitudes. Negative attitudes to positive attitudes. It changed our service from identification to participation. To participation. We need more participation. We need more participation. It began to mold our congregation into a family unit. For once, we learned to flow love to God. To flow love to God. Instead of expecting God to flow through, to flow love down, it's an expression of showing love to God. Love to God. He did, Judson Cornwell was a pastor, and God spoke to him to start praising. Just praise me. Praise me. And so he started learning what it meant to praise God and looked up scripture after scripture and taught on it. And they just saw phenomenal things happen once they started to praise God all the time. It makes our hearts ready to receive from the Lord instruction, rebuke. During worship, we can be rebuked by the Lord. He can speak to our hearts. Healing, love, grace, whatever he's wanting to do for us. It plows up our heart to receive the word of God that's going to be spoken that day. It really does. It gets our hearts prepared for whatever the servant of God is going to present to us. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And worship will do that. Worship will be a searchlight into our hearts and see what the intent is. What is your intent in worshiping? Is it to sound really good? To be the best you can be? To be better than it? I want to be better than Autumn. I want to be better than Robert. No, that's not worship. That is not worship. That's worldly competition. And that has no place in the church. It has no place in the church. But as we worship and as the word comes forth, it will pierce our hearts to see what's in there and what needs to be dealt with by the Holy Spirit. It changes the environment. Have you ever come into this place and we've been worshiping and you just feel a difference? From being outside, you can just feel the presence of God because worship has been taking place. I think that's awesome. I love when I come into a service and the group has just been worshiping before service, and it sets the atmosphere ready for us when we come in to worship God, to where we know, hey, wait a minute, I need to leave all that stuff out, that baggage out there, because this is a holy place. This is where we're going to come and worship God. It brings a fresh breath air, a fresh breath of His Spirit. Because worship is a matter of the heart, we can worship Him in no matter what dire circumstances we're in. You know, I think about, I know I've gone on and on about Voice of the Martyrs, but I just get a magazine from them every month, and they tell, you know, they're just telling these stories about these people that are being tortured for Christ. And yet, through that, they still can worship God. They can still worship God. No matter what comes against these bodies, nothing can separate us from Christ. Nothing can separate us from Christ. No matter what torture is placed on us, nothing can separate us from Christ. And we can worship God because of that. In the New Testament, we have a few examples. Acts 16:25 and 26 is about Paul and Silas when they were thrown into the prison. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And they were thrown in the deepest part of the prison and put in shackles. So I'm thinking they had to be praising the Lord pretty loud for all the prisoners to hear them. And verse 26 says, and suddenly, I want a suddenly in my life. I want a suddenly to happen in my life. There was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Wow, that's a mighty praise and worship. That is a mighty praise and worship that happened. Of course, the guard was all upset because he thought everybody was going to leave, and nobody did leave. And through all that, the guard got saved. So God used that opportunity of them praising God and worshiping to save a man's soul. We don't know what He's doing in our service when we worship. We don't know what heart is being changed because of our worship. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." So, do we have a psalm? Do we have a hymn? Do we have a spiritual song? Have you ever just sung in the Spirit? Prophesied in the Spirit? You know, I think it was Elijah, one of the prophets. Most of his prophecies were sung. I thought that was kind of interesting that he sung most of his prophecies. You know, when I was first learning about the Song of the Lord, have you heard of the Song of the Lord where the Holy Spirit will come on you and you'll just have a song rise up? And it won't be a song that we know. It's just a song from God that you're to share. When I was first learning about that, I would take the Psalms and just start singing the Psalms, maybe one or two scriptures of the Psalms. And God would just start expounding on that. So if that's something you're interested in doing, I would just encourage you to, even in your home, just get a psalm and start singing that psalm to God. And it's just amazing how He'll add more to that. And then He'll give you your own words to sing out to Him. Sometimes you can sing a prophecy over somebody, and it'll set them free. You know, God does all kinds of stuff. He can do whatever He wants. He's God, right? But we have to be obedient to let Him do that, and obedient to worship Him. Philippians 3:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." You know, in whatever situation you're in, we are supposed to rejoice. You know, I had to get 4 new tires yesterday because I looked at my front tire and it had a big old split in it. I thought, well, I can't drive that very far. So I thought, well, I can either rejoice in the Lord always, or I can just throw a fit and say, oh, God, I got to come up with some more money to pay for this. And it's a bummer because I got to go sit at the tire place and get it fixed and blah, 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 you know, just start complaining. So we have a choice. When things look bad for us, we can either complain or we can rejoice in the Lord always, no matter what our situation. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. So rejoice in the Lord always. Make your prayer and supplication be known to God. And His peace will overtake us. It will, no matter what your situation. It will overtake you if we won't worry and trust Him. There is power in praise no matter what our circumstances are. So I want to read Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. See, we need to be thankful besides praising Him. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Praise ye the Lord. We need to begin to praise the Lord more. No matter what our situation, we need to praise the Lord. Come into this place with thanksgiving. Come into this place with thanksgiving. So I want us to do a little something here. I want you to think of one word that you think of when you think of the Lord. So, anyone, just speak it out. What? So, Lord, we're thankful for your forgiveness. Lord, we're thankful for your love. What's another one? Huh? Lord, we're thankful that you are good. You are good. God, you are merciful, and we thank you that you're merciful. Somebody else? God, we thank you that you are so faithful to us. Thank you, Lord God. We praise you and thank you, Lord God. Anyone else? God, I thank you that you are our healer. You are our rear guard. You go before us, and I thank you for that, Lord God. I thank you that you are the El Shaddai. I thank you, Lord, that you're our comforter. I thank you that you are the I Am. I thank you, God, that you love us. I thank you, God, that you are my provision, that even as you gave Saul bread, you give bread to us. You provide for us. Anyone else have something? We thank you, God, that you're the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. We thank you, Lord, that in our weakness, you are strong. You are strong, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You are a protector. Yes, we thank you for that, Lord. Not only do you protect our hearts and our bodies, you protect our houses. We thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. You're the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that you're the morning star. We thank you that you are our good shepherd. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, some others. We thank you, Lord, you give life abundantly. Jacob. Yes, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you are our Savior and you are our Lord. We thank you for the sacrifice you gave for us, for mankind. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Anything else? Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Lord, you're our Redeemer. You sanctify us, Lord. We have redemption through you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. We glorify your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Your praise will ever be on our lips, Lord God. Ever be on our lips. Your praise will ever be on our lips, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. We come into this place, Lord God, with thanksgiving. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord, that we are your children and we can call you our God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I ask your blessings upon these that have come today and ask, Lord, that you just give them a safe trip home. Father, I pray that as they meditate tonight on you, Lord, that you just, Holy Spirit, speak to their hearts on the things to be thankful for in their own lives and praises to give to you, Lord God, from their own hearts and what you've done for them, Lord. I pray, Father, that you just show us how to praise you, how to give thanksgiving, how to worship you in this place, Lord. Father, we want the atmosphere in this place to be conducive to you to move however you will, Lord God. So I give you praise and worship this day, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.